Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us a special history of the British Grand Prix. This is podcast number 514, July 11th, 2011. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by the donation button located on the front page of the F1Weekly website. Check on it. Click on it. Give. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen, on today's program. Bravo. Off-throttle controversy for nothing. Is Renault going backwards? Not forwards. And Rubinho looks like he'll be racing forever and beyond. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Wow. British Grand Prix. It's classic, it's historic, it's the vintages, it's the best, it's, you know, and I, the Silverstone, the new layout, looks pretty cool, and of course, the weather, so temperamental.
Just a spot of rain.
A spot of rain here and there, maybe on one side of the track, not this side of the track, but it was exciting, and of course, the big controversy of the weekend, not only is it a great Grand Prix, but of course, we have the off-throttle blown diffuser issues that everybody's freaking out on. And then there was some backpedaling because of...
backroom deals, basically.
Well, some people got 10% throttle. And the quiet ones were Ferrari, really not saying very much at all.
Probably because they were the ones... well. A lot of people think that Ferrari was the one that initiated the whole
thing. And the one, you know, I think of mass dampers all the time.
Exactly. Active suspension came up at least once during the weekend while I was watching.
I think of a lot of things, but it was fascinating to say the least. But still, great day for qualifying. We've got a damp track, and there's... everybody's hitting the track very quickly.
Getting out there while it's dry. Get them, get those slicks on. Get out there as quick as you can.
Yeah, possible rain. Of course, I want to remind everybody that Daniel Ricciardo, or as they say in England, Ricardo, starts his Formula One career this weekend driving for HRT, replacing Nahrin Karthikeyan. And everybody knows how I feel about him.
You love him.
I do. He's just adorable. Anyway, 15 minutes to go, light rain in Copes, and everybody's trying to bank in a lap because it's going to be trouble in River City if it gets any worse.
If it gets any more rain, it could be a lot of trouble for a lot of people.
13 minutes to go, Fernando Alonso coming out of Brooklands goes off into the gravel, and there is some serious gravel out here, and he goes into the deep gravel where there's actually rocks.
What he does is he gets himself over to the fence where there's no gravel. It's just kind of like...
it's a rocky road.
It's like a macadam road over there.
But luckily he was able to get through that.
And get back on the track. It was very interesting watching the Ferrari go over that. It was like...
but no damage to the car. It was amazing. Yeah. So Fernando Alonso, keep up the good work. 11 minutes to go. And... Pastor Maldonado goes to P1 with a 1.32.702 on soft tires, of course. And I was stunned. I'm going, wow.
The Williams showing a little pace.
A little pace in Q1. Pastor Maldonado seems to be outpacing Rubinho, which is what he needs to be doing.
Yeah, he's got to be doing that. You know, you got to outdo the old guy.
And with 7 minutes left, raindrops begin to get heavy. And that's happening right there on the start. Finish line. And it's so, Mark... what?
Mark Go, Webber?
Speak.
Mark Webber?
Mark Webber. Remember him?
Isn't he that other guy at Red Bull?
Yeah, number two. But not too bad. But out in Q1 is my favorite, Daniel Ricciardo, Vitantonio Liuzzi, D'Ambrosio, Trulli, Glock, Buemi, and Jaime Alguersuari. I don't know what happened, but these guys blew it.
Yeah, really not sure what's going on, but to actually get out-qualified by Kovalainen and a Lotus makes you look a little bad.
Yeah, and you know, it could have been timing and some other issues, but Heikki Kovalainen does get into P16 and makes it to Q2. And for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. It counts.
Okay, exactly. He's out of Q1.
Yeah, so we're all very, very happy for Heikki Kovalainen. Let's go right to Q2. More rain, 10 minutes in. And it's Pastor Maldonado again, Kamui Kobayashi, Rubinho, Sergio Perez, and Mark Webber. But the track begins to dry. And 7 minutes to go. Adrian Sutil goes right up to P1. Still no time from Felipe Massa, Rosberg, Alonso, Hamilton, and Schumacher. With 3 minutes left, Fernando goes right to the top. Lewis Hamilton, of course, Adrian Sutil, Mark Webber, Kamui Kobayashi, and Sergio Perez. Still no time from Paul D'Arista. Not sure what was going on, and I couldn't get any information on why he was delayed, but it could have been a problem with the car. But we do have some good excitement. D'Arista finally comes out. Renault is not looking very good. D'Arista straight away goes right to P9. And Adrian Sutil drops down to P11, which was surprising because he was looking fairly strong. But once again, D'Arista shows his testicular fortitude.
Yeah, you got a lot of good stuff going on. Very interesting P2 because you see somebody jump up like Sutil jump into... He was up to five or six, and then bang, 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 bang. And he's just dropping like a rock as, you know, guys like Maldonado and Kobayashi throw in better laps and just drive him down.
Yeah, and Felipe Massa went to the top of the charts. Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Button, Rosberg, Vettel, Kamui Kobayashi. And when I saw Vettel down there, I'm thinking, okay, is this off-throttle blown diffuser going to be a problem for Sebastian Vettel? Because a lot of people are saying that this is going to be Mark Webber's chance. Sebastian Vettel depends on it a lot more than Mr. Webber.
Yeah, but Webber may be a tiny bit faster, but I don't think it's had anything to do with the blown diffuser.
Well, you'd be surprised how someone's driving style can be affected by one gizmo or the other.
That's true.
And how one driver's style will use one gizmo more than the other. So you'd be surprised, from a Webber to a Vettel, things can change dramatically when these gizmos are taken away.
Take away his gizmo!
But anyway, out, which was shocking, Michael Schumacher, Sutil, Sergio Perez, Vitaly Petrov, Nick Heidfeld, Heikki Kovalainen, and Rubens Barrichello. And right now, I'm suspecting that not only is the off-throttle blown diffuser affecting Vettel, but I'm thinking the Renaults are really sucking.
Oh, the Renaults seem to really watching qualifying in the last practice, it looks to me like if any team's really taken in the shorts with the blown diffuser being taken off the car, it's the Renaults. They're just, they're, especially in Heidfeld's end. We saw Petrov jump up to, I think he got up to eighth at one point, and just bang, 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 just slowly dropping down. I don't think Heidfeld was ever in the top 10.
Yeah.
Except for maybe before the other six cars got on track. You know, he was like nine, but he was quickly on his way down to the bottom.
Yes. No, I think they were certainly affected. And, of course, my friend Jarno Trulli, he's complaining about everything. The car, really, the power steering, the rain. I mean, this guy, it's time to go, Jarno.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to bitch and moan that much, I know there's a kid standing behind the garage who would love to have your seat and would praise the car upside down and backwards and, you know, give his team some credit. You know, all he does, all that kind of crap does, Jarno, is deflate your team. If I'm a mechanic working for Trulli, I don't want to work for Trulli.
Yeah,
he doesn't like what I do.
And I think Heikki Kovalainen always puts on a much happier face.
Oh, certainly a lot less of the, oh, this, oh, that. You know, the old, he doesn't do the old Italian.
Trulli's entire weekend was bad, according to him. Nothing went right. I mean, the hotel room, the bathroom was dirty. I mean, nothing.
The seat of his rental car was hard.
Exactly. It was just brutal from the very beginning as he landed at Heathrow.
You know, his spaghetti showed up al dente.
Yeah, no, it's just bad. So there you have it. Let's go right to Q3. And I'm still concerned about Sebastian Vettel without the off-throttle blown diffuser. I'm already convinced there is no way, Jose, this guy's getting another pole position, especially in jolly good England.
And you might be right.
I am possibly right. 6 minutes to go in Q3. Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, and Jenson Button. Now, it's interesting because for a while it looked like the McLarens were struggling, but you're not sure. The Ferraris have definitely stepped up to the plate.
Well, 1 minute the McLarens look like crap, and the next minute they're looking really fast. You're looking, what?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
What, you guys sandbagging maybe a little bit?
Exactly. 3 minutes to go. Everybody goes in for tire changes. And we've got raindrops with 2 minutes to go. South of the circuit. 1 minute to go. We could be done. Nico Rosberg is the only man out there. You think he's going to bang in the good lap. He's got a fast sector one, fast sector two. No, he doesn't do it.
He
pulls into the pits. And sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Webber finally becomes a man in 2011 by taking pole position alongside Sebastian Vettel on the front row with a Ferrari. Second row, Fernando Alonso and Felipe Massa. Button and Paul de Rosso with an outstanding P6 on the grid.
Yep.
Pastor Maldonado doing a great job. Kamui Kobayashi, Nico Rosberg, and Lewis Hamilton in P10, Stephen.
Not a good weekend, but he's one of those guys I think was looking to bang in a hot lap near the end. And it wasn't to be because the track just got too wet for anybody to do anything about
it. I agree. And everybody figured out that that was it. Mark Webber's on pole and it was done. So that was a pretty good qualifying. There was a bit of excitement. And Sebastian Vettel's on pole. So that's exciting in itself.
Well, it's the second weekend in a row. Give Mark Webber some credit that he can bang in a faster lap than his teammate.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty exciting. So let's go right to the British Grand Prix. We've got a half-wet track. And it's pretty wet. The wet side is wet.
The wet side is really wet, and the dry side is just a little damp.
But it's still it's yin and yang.
Yeah, and not only that, but the wet side of the track is almost too wet for intermediates.
Yeah,
as we see once the race gets started, because a little dicey for a couple of people.
Well, what really blows my mind is the race is about to start. They talk to Bernie real quickly, and guess what? It's been signed. The off-throttle blown rear diffuser ban has been lifted, and we're all going back to what we had in Valencia. I'm just going, what was this all about? Who is smoking the bean?
And why is Ecclestone making that announcement?
Well, because he was on the grid, and Martin Brundle asked him, and that's what I got, Stephen.
It's called. So is that for, like, next week?
It's or done for the rest of the year.
Okay, starting in the next race, I hope.
Correct,
not,
Nürburgring. Like,
not as they drive them to, oh, by the way, you can use your car as you brought it.
Yeah. No, it's bizarre. So this whole thing was wrapped up at Silverstone, and
what, did find out that it did make a freaking difference? And so they,
well, I think there was a lot of chit-chat sessions, and, you know, when the owners and FOTA gets together, and the FIA, Jean Todt was there. I don't know, and may I also remind everybody that Nigel Mansell is our steward of the week, which is good.
Yeah.
We like Nigel Mansell. And of course, with the wet side of the track, pretty wet, most people are starting on intermediate tires, Stephen.
I think everybody started on intermediates.
Which means, if you start on intermediates,
that means you don't have to worry about going to them damn hard tires.
And we know who doesn't look good on hard tires, Stephen.
Ferrari?
Scarlet Red.
Ferrari?
Yeah, Prince they don't Bruce. Like the hard tires, so this is a big bonus for Ferrari, and it's bigger than you really, really.
Well, ultimately, understand. It's going to pay some huge dividends for
yes,
them.
But Ferrari not having to use the hard tire is actually huge. Anyway, let's go. The lights go out. Jenson Button goes up to P4. Sebastian Vettel is in P1, passes Mark Webber. Lewis Hamilton is up to P7. Lewis Hamilton then passes Paul DeRosa for P6. Felipe Massa passes Jenson Button. Now Lewis Hamilton passes Jenson Button. And we're going, what is wrong with Jenson Button?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, Jens. Hey, Jens. Jens, the race started.
I think the 8-track cassette player got stuck. But it was a great start for Sebastian Vettel, showing Mark Webber who... his El Basso.
El numero
and uno. And, you know, I just wish we could hear all these radio transmissions because I'm sure they're fascinating. But this was a great start for a number of people, including Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Lap 2, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:50.924. Lap 3, Heikki Kovalainen is in the garage. It's over. So the guy who complains the least...
Well, now we know how he got into Q2. He overcooked the engine.
Well, no, this is what happened. And I'm, you know, in the old days, this would have not have stopped a driver from driving. But the problem is, you know, everything's got to last so long. But what happened is he lost fourth gear. Now, I can remember, I believe it was Schumacher in Spain, you know, driving a heck of a race without third gear. So these
Well, not only that, you run into too is that I'm sure that when Schumacher was running that race without third gear, he was using a manual clutch and a stick shift.
It's possible, but still.
A lot easier to get around a bad gear when you're not, you know, relying on the paddle shift.
And I guess when it's a sequential kind of activity, fourth gear is sort of significant.
Yeah.
But still, I hate to hear drivers park the car when only one gear is missing.
Exactly, because you really should be able to work around that.
Well, that shows the skill of a driver, what he could do without fourth gear. And maybe they should practice that.
Or at least, you know, the thing that makes me think is that the car won't run when it's missing a gear. Or it's like, you go. Or the other thing could be, too, is that the ratio between fourth and fifth
is too big.
Was so big. That when he wound out third as far as he could get it, when he went to fifth, there just wasn't enough torque there to keep the car moving.
Just wind it higher in third, Steven.
Can't, because you peak and you can't go any farther.
My God, Madge. Well, there you have it. Lap 3, Heikki Kovalainen is out, and Sebastian Vettel puts in the fast lap of the race with a 1:50.838. Lap 4, Lewis Hamilton runs wide at Brooklands. And it's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Paul DeRosa, Kamui Kobayashi, Michael Schumacher, and Adrian Sutil. And yes, I'm very happy that Pedro De La Rosa is not in a car. Lap 5, team asked Michael Schumacher about slicks. What do you think about slicks? Are you ready for slicks? There's no way. It's just way too wet there.
I love Michael's comeback, though. 3 or 4 laps.
I mean, it was obviously with the spray you could see on the television.
Well, especially on the wet end of the track. It was like, it looked like it was pouring rain out there. The clouds coming up, basically losing the car behind the car.
Absolutely. Lap 5, Sergio Perez is all over the back of Nico Rosberg for P12. And now DRS is enabled.
Took him a few extra laps.
Well, because, you know, if it's a wet track, there's no DRS. But it's... it's a demi-toss of wetness. So, DRS is enabled. Lap 6, Renault seemed to be suffering the most from this blown diffuser activity. You could just tell what's going down, even though Nick Heidfeld does muster up into the points towards the end of the race. Lap 7, Sergio Perez is still pressuring Nico Rosberg. Sebastian Buemi and Jaime Alguersuari both pass Vitaly Petrov. He's now in P17. Lap 8, Heikki Kovalainen. It's announced that he lost fourth gear. Everybody knows.
A gearbox problem.
Yeah. And now the team gets on the horn and asks Lewis Hamilton about slicks. What do you think about slicks, Lewis? It's not going to happen. It's still too wet out there. So really, I think everybody should be focusing on getting to the window of your first pit stop.
Yeah, exactly. Try to see the problem a lot of these guys are starting to run with is that there's enough track to completely eat up intermediate tires.
Exactly. That's the biggest problem. Lap 9, Fernando Alonso is now closing in on Mark Webber and now under the 1 second mark for DRS. Fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with 1:50.510. Now Lewis Hamilton is all over the culo of Felipe Massa. Michael Schumacher pits from P10, nose damage, apparently a collision with Kamui Kobayashi. Michael Schumacher lost the rear, hit Kamui, and of course he will be investigated for a penalty. Lap 10, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, 1:49.988. And on lap 11, Felipe Massa is keeping Lewis Hamilton at bay and doing a pretty good job of it. You have to admit, Stephen.
Did or did not Michael Schumacher change onto slicks when he got his new nose?
Did he change his slicks, Steven?
I think he did.
I don't know about that, but I will find out because on lap 11, Michael Schumacher and Kamui Kobayashi are being investigated for that collision. And all of a sudden, the pits light up and it's Jenson Button, Adrian Sutil, Kamui Kobayashi, Maldonado, Buemi, Rubinho, Petrov, Glock, and D'Ambrosio all pit for dry tires. Lap 12, Felipe Massa has no grip. He's whimpering in the wind. Mark Webber pits. Fernando Alonso pits. Hamilton. Paul DiResta. Jaime Alguersuari. Nico Rosberg. And Sergio Perez all pit for dries. The track is drying. It's time to do the business.
Time to drive.
Kamui Kobayashi is released too early on lap 12 into Pastor Maldonado. Fast lap of the race. Guess what? Michael Schumacher, sure enough, went on soft tires and just did the fast lap of a 1:47.844. Lap 13, Sebastian Vettel pits. Felipe Massa does as well. And the fast lap of the race now is Jenson Button with a 1:46.073. The times are falling because we've got
a dry.
Exactly. Sebastian Vettel keeps the lead coming out of the pits. Yarno truly is stopped somewhere out on track because he was just complaining so much the car just gave up. Jenson Button now is all over Felipe Massa, but just can't seem to get by. Lap 14, Jenson Button passes Massa, and fast lap of the race, it's Lewis Hamilton with a 1:44.017, so the softs are working well for everyone. And let's not forget, they started on intermediate, Steve, and so the hard tires have been put back into the CUDA.
Yes. And that putt that passed by Jenson Button was majestic.
It was majestic, Steve. Drive-through penalty for Kamui Kobayashi. 10-second penalty for Michael Schumacher. And I want to tell everyone that most of the penalties will be 10-second penalties because if you cut through the paddock or the plane, you will actually take a shortcut and take time off your lap. Because the way the new pits start finish line, it's a shortcut. So therefore, Charlie Whiting decided that we need a 10-second stop for any kind of penalty to really work.
Because the stop and go or the drive through just
right. Stop and kind go of really, or a drive through.
Yeah, it's not a real.
It's not a real penalty because it's such a strange. The engineering is so bizarre.
Yeah, the new configuration.
Yes. Okay. Enough of that. Lap 15. Fast lap of the race. Marble with a 1:42.571, and McLaren now seem to be flying. Lewis Hamilton passes Fernando Alonso, and Fernando was crying and whimpering and couldn't believe it. Lap 16. Flap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:41.64 with a 1:41.47 for his 10-second penalty. Lap 7. 0.9. Lap 18. Sebastian Vettel answers back with a 0.877 the train here.
Yep.
Nick Heidfeld passes Kamui Kobayashi now, and Pastor Maldonado passes Kamui Kobayashi as well. And then Kamui Kobayashi takes it back. We had a little Kamui excitement because first he looked like he was a little lackadaisical, but then when he took back the pass from Maldonado, I felt a little bit better about my Kamui. Sebastian Buemi passes Pastor Maldonado, so we're not sure what was going on there. Lap 20, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, the 1:39.796. Kamui Kobayashi takes his penalty immediately after it's announced on lap 20. Lap 21, Fernando Alonso bangs in some fast laps, and this is where the Ferrari really starts picking up the pace, and I'm very impressed with the speed of the car.
Yeah, looking really good.
Fast lap of the race on 22 with a 1:38.7. Michael Schumacher passes Vitaly Petrov for P15. And now Fernando Alonso is within 1 second of Lewis Hamilton because he wants to get that dude.
Gets that dude.
The team asked Mark Webber about front wing adjustment. I don't know.
It's like, dude, I'm racing here.
Well, I think he says give him a tweak here, you know, half a degree there. I don't know. Alonso now is looking to pass Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton gets passed by Fernando Alonso in the DRS zone, and Fernando is going, bravo, bravo, bravo. And, of course, he's got a picture of Flavio on the dashboard.
When's he going to be my new team principal?
Yeah, he will be one day. Lap 24, Lewis Hamilton pits. Paul DiResta pits and Felipe Massa pit as well. Fernando Alonso doesn't stop. He bangs in another fast lap with a 1:38.4. Kamui Kobayashi now has gone kablamo. And when he took his penalty, you saw puffs of blue smoke off Kamui's car. And you could tell there was trouble in River City with capital T that rhymes with P. That stands for...
kablamo?
Correct. So there you have it. Lap 25, Fernando Alonso, another 1:38.4. Adrian Sutil pits, and a terrible stop for Adrian Sutil and Force India. I don't know what happened.
It sort of semi-imploded. It was really kind of
wrong
weird.
Tires. They thought...
Oh, yeah, there was...
They thought Rista was coming in.
It looked like a Chinese fire drill.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. You know, they saw the tires and saw, oh, wrong name tags.
Oops. These aren't his tires.
And it was sort of embarrassing. But, I mean, it could happen to the best of them. But Force India is supposed to be, you know, mid-pack. They should be doing a better job.
Well, that's kind of the mistake that you expect them not to make. Obviously, someone either told them the wrong tires or someone, you know, wasn't paying attention to the call.
I concur. Fast lap of the race on lap 26. Fernando with a 1:37.5. Jenson Button pits. Mark Webber pits. Felipe Massa pits. Sebastian Buemi has a flat contact with Paul DiResta. Little bad luck there, but
little bad luck because he does it like on the basically like two turns from the start of the pit, and it's just like this is a horribly long track if you've got a flat.
Not only that, but he's going a little bit too fast. The tire shreds completely, and you've got to slow down.
Yeah, you got to take off a little bit of pace, but. Because he probably should have been able to get it back to the pits, but just tore his car up too much.
Yeah, I agree. Lap 27. This is it. This is the beginning of the end, Steven. Fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso with a 1:35.5. Sebastian Vettel pits, Fernando Alonso pits. They both pit at the same time, Steven, but the karma has caught up with Mr. Vettel. Bad stop. Apparently the wheel gun...
Looked like a wheel gun or possibly the jack snapped. For some reason, they couldn't get the left rear. There was something going on in the left rear. They ended up changing jacks. That seemed to fix the problem, but it cost them.
But I saw Fernando Alonso as he was coming out and seeing Vettel still in his box. And I saw Fernando put his hand up to his mouth and went... So what can you do? But that's ration. So Fernando Alonso takes the lead, and Lewis Hamilton is close by. Fernando Alonso now is trying to increase that 1 second gap so Lewis Hamilton doesn't have the DRS zone. Which is, you know, you're in that zone, you're going to get passed. Yeah,
especially when you're at the front of the tip of the spear.
Absolutely. It's pretty exciting. Lap 29, Sebastian Buemi is out of the race because of the puncture. Now the team tells Sebastian Vettel to be patient. You still can do it.
You can do it.
You are a contender.
Yeah, it's about this time that Jens makes his pit stop.
Well, Jensen Button's, he's coming up. Hang on. Let's just take it easy. D'Ambrosio pits. And, of course, they're telling Sebastian Vettel, you can still win. Things can happen. Ferraris can blow up. You never know what's going to happen. Lap 30, Nico Rosberg pits. And, Lap 31, Sebastian Vettel now is closing in on Lewis Hamilton. Jaime Alguersuari pits, Michael Schumacher pits, Timo Glock pits, and Rubinho pits as well. Vettel could not pass Lewis Hamilton because even though he had the 1 second gap within, the problem is Lewis Hamilton had a 1 second gap to the other vehicle, so they both opened up their wings
to a back
and they canceled each other out. Big bummer, but that's the way it goes. Sergio Perez pits from P7, doing a pretty good job for our friends at Sauber. And, of course, on lap 32, fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso, 135.7. He's absolutely flying. He's got the lead, and there's no way he's going to let this go. Lap 33, Mark Webber pulling two wheels into the grass, almost loses it, but keeps it under control. You had brought up Jenson Button.
But that wasn't until a little bit later.
Yes, so you're getting me confused, Steve.
I'm sorry.
And that's going to be another demerit. Lap 33, Mark Webber pulling two wheels into the grass, almost loses it. I'm repeating myself, but Sebastian Vettel still can't get it done. He can't get by. So Michael Schumacher passes Jaime Alguersuari for P12. Schumacher not having a great day, and you think, he knows his track so well, but still.
Well, I think what you're seeing is the Mercedes, they may have set the setup for a wetter track.
Perhaps.
And that's why he doesn't really have that upper end pace, because he looked pretty good when it was still wet, and he looked really good coming onto the dry tires, but he's been kind of slowing down.
Exactly. Lap 35, Michael Schumacher is still trying to pass Nick Heidfeld, and Lewis Hamilton is doing a good job, but and Vettel just can't get by him to make up that bad pit stop. He's just suffering like a dog. Lap 36, Sebastian Vettel all over Lewis Hamilton. Sebastian Vettel decides to pit, which I thought was a good move, because really the dirty air, Lewis Hamilton's hard to pass.
He's not getting anywhere, and he's getting to the point of frustration.
And he's losing
just
time.
Just before he went in, they they came as close to touching as you could come to touching without touching.
Exactly.
Very tight.
So I thought that was smart from Red Bull. Pitt, Vettel, it was a very good stop, 3.4, and he comes out in P6. Fast lap of the race, Vettel, 134.5. Lap 37, Lewis Hamilton pits. McLaren, are they just reacting to the Red Bull pit from Vettel? Or is this part of their strategy? I don't know. Sebastian Vettel now is ahead of Lewis Hamilton. It worked, Steve. Vettel pitting at the right time, getting away from Lewis Hamilton, a fast stop, Lewis Hamilton pits on the following lap, but
it's fantastic. It's classic. It was almost classic what Schumacher used to do. That hot out lap, basically getting him a spot.
It was very impressive, and good job by Red Bull getting Vettel ahead of Lewis Hamilton. Lap 38, will Ferrari tell Felipe Massa to slow down and block Sebastian Vettel? Because Vettel comes out in P6, Felipe Massa is ahead. This is a great number two job, Steve. Slow down the other guy.
Slow down.
I think it's beautiful. I mean, I would have done it. Mark Webber pits on lap 38. Vitaly Petrov pits. Sebastian Vettel on the back of Felipe Massa and passes him. Lap 39, Fernando Alonso pits. Perfect stop. Jenson Button pits.
Not so perfect stop.
Well, it looked good when it was going in real time. But then when you see him stop at the end of the pit lane, good stop.
Kind of like, what?
Yep. Forgot the wheel nut.
Yeah, well.
It was the lollipop guy.
Yeah, exactly. The right front jackman or tire guy, first gun didn't go, was reaching for the second gun, and the lollipop guy released button.
Yeah, he just didn't pay any attention.
And the guy's like sitting there with he picks up the other gun, the car's gone.
It's that's how quickly things move. Yeah, it was. And when they replayed it, you could see the guy going, dude, the nut.
I didn't release him.
So,
Button going out the pit lane. You see the tire almost come off the hub and then work its way back
and
as he pulls
the
over.
The sad part is, the Brits. We're hoping for Jenson Button to do something well, but he's always had some really bad luck at Silverstone.
He's horrible luck at this track.
And that's just the way the cookie can roll, Steven. I thought it was exciting.
Insult to injury. Button under investigation for an unsafe pit release.
Yeah.
It's not even his fault.
But it's true. You got to have the wheel nut or it's unsafe, Steven.
Exactly.
Lap 40, Adrian Sutil pits. Lewis Hamilton gets past Felipe Massa. Lap 41, Felipe Massa Pitts, 3 point second stop. Fernando Alonso says, I'm not through here with a 1:34.9 fast lap of the race. Now the team tells Mark Webber that he's racing Lewis Hamilton. You know, keeping things nice and clear. The team tells Lewis Hamilton, you need to save fuel to finish.
Yeah. Insult to injury. You blow it in the pits with one car, the other one you need to put enough gas in it.
How could, you know, in McLaren, we're talking boku dollars. Huge, huge organization. And to really have some bumbling like this is a big bummer.
Well, not only that, but to maybe cut your fuel that close in an effort to lighten your car to make it maybe a little bit more competitive, ultimately not that good an idea, especially at Silverstone, because you rarely ever see safety cars at Silverstone. Rarely. The track is so big that when people go off, they're off.
I agree. Lap 42, Mark Webber will now begin to attack Lewis Hamilton. Lap 42, Mark Webber is now 2.6 seconds to Lewis Hamilton. Jenson Button, yes indeed, is being investigated. Lap 43, big lockup for Lewis Hamilton. Mark Webber lurking behind, and the team tells Mark Webber that McLaren could be bluffing, by the way, about the fuel problem.
Yeah.
Sorry. Which is, but that's, you know, that's the new age.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're saying out there.
Exactly. Maybe that means he could just go like hell bent for leather because he's got plenty of gas. That's what that means for them.
Yeah, so I'm going shocking. Bluffing? Lap 45. Team tells Lewis Hamilton to hold off Mark Webber. I mean, you know, I think these drivers know what to do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here comes Webber. Don't just let him go. What the heck? I'll just let him go by.
Exactly. So on lap 46, Mark Webber passes Lewis Hamilton in the DRS zone and says, shut the huck up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hear your bluff.
Lap 47, the team tells Felipe Massa about Lewis Hamilton's fuel. I started reflecting on Force India. They're having a bad day. And poor Paul DeRista, not doing well. He's languishing back there in P15, I believe.
McLaren needs to come up, you know, with the thing. Who is it that always... Is it Red Bull? It's like mode 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Come up with a, you know, the code word for it. You're not going to have enough guests.
Well, the problem is they deciphered all the codes, so they went back to regular English. Lap 48, Fernando Alonso now is leading by 19 seconds. Felipe Massa may be able to catch Lewis Hamilton, though. Think about it, Steve, how exciting that would be for Ferrari.
Well, he's taking more than 2 seconds a lap out of him as he's coming up behind him. So
yeah, it would have been fun. Lewis Hamilton is asking for more information. You know, he's Googling while he's driving.
Exactly. Where am I going to dinner today?
Yeah, there's just too much radioactivity for me. Lap 49, can Felipe Massa be machismo? I mean, I'm talking to myself, Steve. I'm going, can he really be the man?
Can he step up and get some more points for the team?
Exactly. Is he wearing, you know, two-day-old underwear like he used to for good luck?
But that's when he was teammates to Schumacher, though.
No, that's when he was teammates to Häkkinen.
Häkkinen.
But anyway, Felipe Massa is banging in some fast laps. Lewis Hamilton is out there, Mr. Casual, trying to save fuel.
He's just trying to little,
so bring it home. On lap 49, Felipe Massa takes 3 seconds out of Lewis Hamilton's lap. I thought it was just, I was going, can this guy actually save his seat at this Ferrari team? Lap 50, Felipe Massa is on fire. Mark Webber is closing in on Vettel as well. Sebastian Vettel could be in trouble. I'm going, man, we've got a race that's out of control. Mark Webber is trying to pass Vettel, but doesn't stick. Lap 51, Felipe Massa on the back of Lewis Hamilton. And, you know, we know what's going on. The team tells Mark Webber to maintain the gap. And they're not talking about pants here.
Nope.
Big bummer. And I, to be honest with you, if you really think about it, these guys are intelligent drivers. I think in the end, Mark Webber would have maintained the gap.
Yeah, I don't think they really needed to tell him. He wasn't really close enough to make a charge.
Yeah.
He was close, but he wasn't.
And once again, the team orders fiasco has begun, and the pundits went absolutely crazy with it. And they're still going crazy with it today. But still, I thought the Team Mortis thing was going to come in as soon as I saw Mark Webber behind Vettel. Lewis Hamilton is hanging on lap 52. Sebastian Vettel is hanging on to his lead, or his second place.
His gap.
And Felipe Massa makes the move on Lewis Hamilton, locks it up. They contact. More parts are falling off Lewis Hamilton's car in two chicanes and still finishes.
And he somehow still ends up.
It was great. It was still a great,
beautiful move by Hamilton to kind of...
to just shove his way through there.
Exactly.
And there was some pushing and shoving. And apparently that's my new team, the Massa and Hamilton team. These guys are at it all the time and I just love it. But still a fantastic race for Fernando Alonso. Once he got the lead, he banged in the laps and there was just no catching him. This was a phenomenal race. And with some of the activities between Vettel and Webber... the team orders, the fantastic last two laps with Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa really just put it all together for me. And, you know, too bad for Jenson Button, but those things happen. I wish Paul Di Ristà would have had a better race for sure. But still, you know, he had a great qualifying, but things happen in racing.
Yep, that's the way it goes. Actually, my biggest disappointment really was the fact that Ricciardo just... didn't do much of anything.
Yeah, but you forgot one specific point that he did do.
He did finish.
He did finish, Stephen. And that really was his ultimate goal. In the end, he's driving a pretty bad car,
yeah.
A slow car, and he didn't spin, he didn't put it in the gravel, he didn't put it into the wall. And really, it was a development race for him.
Yeah.
Get
him seat time in an F1
race. Absolutely. And he maximized it. The sponsors are happy. HRT are happy because they've got a car that's not completely wrecked.
Yeah, exactly. They can use it next week.
So, you know, I'm thinking positive here. And you put somebody like that who gets a little seat time, gets a little, you know, experience in the car. When you put him in a faster car, then he can push and see where he can go.
Exactly.
So, for me, I thought Ricciardo did okay. I didn't expect that. I mean, he only had two choices. Last or second to the last, Steven. That
pretty
was
much,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing else you could do. So, congratulations to everyone. Of course, a great, great race. Fernando Alonso did a fantastic job. And we'll have more on the history of the British Grand Prix from Nasser in a few moments. But still, I really, really enjoyed this race. I'm looking forward to Germany. And can you possibly give us the top 10, Stephen?
Certainly. Fernando Alonso wins the Santander Grand Prix of Britain, followed by Vettel and Webber joining him on the podium. Hamilton outraces Massa. Rosberg outraces
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
P-E-R.
Who?
P-E-R.
P-D-R?
Perez.
Sergio Perez? Or
yes.
Paul Di Ristà?
No, P-E-R, Perez.
Yeah.
Heidfeld 8th, Schumacher 9th, Agosuari 10th, Sutil 11th, Petrov, Barrichello, Maldonado, Di Ristà, Glock, D'Ambrosio, Luizzi, Ricciardo, Button, Buemi, Kobayashi, Trulli and Kovalainen do not classify.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that Heidfeld was able to get into P8, to be honest with you.
Yeah, frankly, a really good race for him, considering the fact that the car was such a pig in qualifying for him.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? The car is not that big of a pig, Steve. I blame a lot of it on team and drivers. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, give him credit. They did a two-stop strategy, too, when everybody else was pretty much running three.
So. Right, exactly. Let's talk about Renault real quickly. Apparently, they've given the green light to evaluate rearward facing exhaust. Talk about crazy.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Wow. What are they thinking at Renault? Obviously, they put the bottle of wine down and going, you know what? These look a little strange. So yeah.
And they cause the car to catch on fire if they get blocked up. I don't
know. So they're going with rearward facing, and I don't even like to say rearward.
Rearward.
It's just wrong. But they're changing their exhaust system for the German Grand Prix as part of an upgrade. And it's been confirmed. Boullier says that, I keep saying this, but we know why we are struggling and why we cannot develop the car as fast as the others. So we may now have to change a little bit of the strategy because we cannot deliver. So that includes changing the exhaust configurations, which we are going to try in Germany. So
basically comes down, we don't have Robert to tell us what we need to do. So.
You know, and I try not to bring Robert Kubica up because it's really comparing apples to fast oranges.
Well, that the fact that, you know, you're not going to get him back so anytime soon.
My other favorite story of the week is, I want to know, and this guy should be putting out facial creams, moisturizers, anti-aging creams. Rubinho looks like he'll be signed for 2012. Listen, I don't know what this guy's doing. I mean, if it's all Viagra or what?
Maybe he's importing something interesting.
Maybe it's those funky berries they have in Brazil. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think he's taking a watch and just swinging it in front of Frank. Look at the watch.
You watch me in the car next season.
It's just, fine, Rubinho. He's going to have, nobody's going to beat this record ever.
No, I can't see anybody.
It's just not happening ever.
Yeah. Well, the only advantage that anyone coming a little bit later has is the fact that, you know, before long we're going to be up to 25 Grand Prix a year, so
yeah,
it makes it a little
true.
Easier that way.
But still, absolutely fascinating. France Tots quickly, he's come out and saying that he will stick with Buemi and Alguersuari till the end of the season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we'll see where Ricciardo comes in. So there you have it, Steve. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I know.
Well,
you're...
part of it may be is that he feels that he's got a seat to get Ricciardo experience without axing one of his other drivers. He hasn't
exactly.
had that opportunity.
The pressure's
before.
Off.
Yeah, he doesn't have to cut somebody. To,
so there
to
you have it. And of course, my favorite is Mark Webber says that. The fact that he and his teammate did not crash in the closing stages of the British Grand Prix shows that team orders were unnecessary between the pair. And he says, the team radioed me about four times asking me that I maintain the gap. But I wasn't happy with that because you should never, never give up in Formula One. So I continued to push. If Fernando had retired on the last lap, we would have been battling for the lead. So Mark Webber, a little too sensitive, you know, to be honest with you. I think he needs to get over this thing. It is a team sport. Knock it off.
Well, that, it sounded to me like he probably was going to ignore him anyway if he had the opportunity, so.
Yeah, so, and the greatest thing, of course, Fernando Alonso winning. He gets 27 wins, tying with the great three-time world champion, Jackie Stewart. So, pretty
and
exciting
And that makes
stuff.
Him, was it like tie him like for fifth on the all-time list,
yes,
too?
Yes, I mean, NASCAR will have all those little details that we usually, you know, aren't sophisticated enough to even comprehend, Steve. So, there you have it. Fantastic race. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the history of the British Grand Prix.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information. And ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now let's go right into it. The history of the British Grand Prix.
It's a good start with the Alphas in the lead and the pack tearing behind. Mechanics and others scramble back to the pits where lap charts and stopwatches are now in operation. Farina gets in front for the first lap in 1 minute 50.6 seconds, a speed of 94.02 miles per hour. He is followed closely by his teammates Fangio and Fagioli, then Reginald Parnell, the Britisher. Then comes Vera in the Maserati and Martin in the Talbot. The pace set by the Alphas is a terrific one. There are early retirements.
Silverstone, the birthplace of Formula One motor racing. British Grand Prix, apart from the Italian Grand Prix, is the only race that has been on the F1 calendar every year since 1950. Greetings, F1 Weekly family members. And this is a true testament to the passion for motor racing in both nations. It was at Silverstone on a Saturday afternoon in 1950 that first ever Formula One World Championship Grand Prix took place, won by an Italian driver in an Italian car, Nino Farina in an Alfa Romeo. Ferrari is advertised as the only team racing since the dawn of Formula One racing. Very true, but surprisingly, they were absent from that inaugural Silverstone race. And it was at this track 60 years ago that a Spanish-speaking driver from the Argentine, Jose Froilan Gonzalez, gave Enzo Ferrari his first Formula One championship victory. And today, that great winning tradition by the most successful Formula One team continues with first win of the season, both for Scuderia Ferrari and driver Fernando Alonso. Ferrari would win the British Grand Prix next 3 years in a row, with Alberto Ascari winning in 1952 and 53, and Gonzalez taking another win at Silverstone in 1954.
Still, Moss is trying, and just after Waterway, he whips over and takes the world champion on the inside. And so a British driver leads in the British Grand Prix, albeit in a German car.
In 1955 at Aintree, which is near Liverpool, Stirling Moss scored his first Grand Prix win ahead of his Mercedes teammate Juan Manuel Fangio after a race-long duel. The Ferrari Festival in Victory Lane returned in 1956 with Fangio as the winner. 1957 saw first Grand Prix success for a British driver in a British car, Moss winning at Aintree, as I already said, located near Liverpool. And you know who came from Liverpool.
One of my favorites.
Exactly. Final Grand Prix win for Peter Collins, English driver from Kidderminster, in the 1958 British Grand Prix. The following month, he was killed at the Nürburgring during the German Grand Prix. And Peter Collins was a good friend of Mike Hawthorn. And it was his death that pretty much sealed the fate for Mike Hawthorn to retire. And you know, some years ago I went to the Autosport show in Birmingham, and I was coming back on the bus, a bus, not a double-decker, back to Heathrow, and I saw signs for Kidderminster, and I got massive chills. And if you take the train from London to Birmingham, the train the Virgin train stops at Coventry, and that is also massive chills, if you know a little bit about the history of motor racing. Okay, Jim Clark wins the first of four successive home wins in 1962 in a Lotus, of course, as this was the only team he drove in his short but brilliant career, and he would win one more time. 1968, Joe Sifford won in a Rob Walker-entered Lotus. Jack Brabham failed to finish but celebrated his 100th Grand Prix start in this race. 1970, Jochen Rindt takes the lead in victory on the final lap after Jack Brabham runs out of petrol. Some people put the blame on low fuel on Brabham's mechanic that day, a gentleman by the name of Ron Dennis, also known as the control freak in the immortal words of man of few words, Kimi Raikkonen. And he should know what he's talking about. 1973, first and only win by an American driver in the British Grand Prix, Peter Revson in a McLaren over the Lotus of Ronnie Peterson. Final Grand Prix win for two-time world champion Emerson Fittipaldi in 1975, driving a McLaren. Controversial 1976 race won by Niki Lauda after winner on the track James Hunt was disqualified 2 months later, following an appeal to FIA by you-know-who.
Shocking!
His team, Scuderia Ferrari. This race and the 73 Peterson victory, I so very dearly remembered. It's amazing. 1977, dramatic debut for, and this is another event that I remember very, very well, when the news broke out on BBC World Service. 1977, dramatic debut for an unknown Formula Atlantic driver, Gilles Villeneuve, who would out-qualify McLaren's number two driver, Jochen Mass. And of course, Villeneuve's debut was in the McLaren. Team leader and party animal, James Hunt, won the race. 1978, you know, of all the races that I have followed since 1973, there are three or five races that gave me more happiness than I could ever ask for. One of them was the 1975 Italian Grand Prix. Regazzoni winning, Lauda finishing third, and that gave Lauda the world championship victory. And 1978 British Grand Prix was one of those also. Lauda was involved in a great late race battle with Carlos Reutemann from Argentina, of course, and he won a race. And if I remember correctly, you know how Brands Hatch is up and down all the turns all the time. And Lauda was leading, and he came up to lap, I believe the driver was Bruno Giacomelli. And then, you know, he went on the outside and brought him and went inside, took the lead. It was a big battle, and that Ferrari 312 T3 is one of my most favorite cars of all time. So I love this race. And I'm hoping in November I get to see Signor Reutemann. Let's see, we're trying very hard to get to him and see what happens. 1979, first F1 win for Frank Williams at a fast Silverstone with Swiss Claire Regazzoni taking his final Grand Prix victory. Alan Jones was leading the race, but then he had, and this was, race was on live on BBC Radio World Service, and they said, a tragedy, and his engine went kaboom, done blowed up, but of course they don't say that in England. 1987, two in a row for Arnage, this time with a great high-speed wheel-banging pass over No Love Lost teammate Nelson Piquet, one of those great, great passes that he did in his career. 1988, Ayrton Senna was the winner on way to the first of his three world championships. 1995, thanks to Damon Hill taking out Michael Schumacher, Johnny Herbert wins on home soil in a Benetton. 1999, home win for DC, David Coulthard. This was the race where Michael Schumacher crashed because of brake failure shortly after the start and the red flag that was displayed shortly before. And finally, in 2005, Montoya takes an impressive first win with McLaren after grabbing the lead from pole sitter Nando on the opening lap. Very impressive performance. But life goes on. This weekend, Nando celebrates with fish and chips and tartar sauce after winning at Silverstone, while Montoya unwraps another hot dog with ketchup in Kentucky after finishing a solid 15th. Thank you for listening.
Pure poetry, Nasser.
Well, what can you do?
Yeah, but we know that Montoya is happier with the hot dog.
Oh, absolutely. He loves the fact that he doesn't even have to go inside and sit down. Every restaurant has a drive-through in America, so he just goes and he goes.
They don't weigh the drivers in NASCAR, do they?
I don't know.
I
the
think
car
they
is
weigh
so heavy.
For being under.
Car is so
underweight.
Heavy. Car is so heavy that they don't need to.
Yeah.
But I must say, you know, I enjoyed the British Grand Prix very much, and they had this aerial camera or cable camera.
Cable camera.
That was giving excellent photography. And fantastic win by Mr. Nando, and it was very good because Ferrari has a lot of following everywhere, especially in Britain, because these people understand motor racing. And I got to say something, that duel between Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton, thank you, sir, fantastic. You know, that's what motor racing is. Who needs curves and, you know, all these DRS, MDX? No, we want pure motor racing. Hamilton did to Massa what Massa did to Robert Kubica some years ago in the rain. I believe it was the Chinese or the Japanese Grand Prix on the last corner of the last lap. He tried to go on the outside and he went very wide. I thought, you know, there he goes. But I could not believe, to this day, I cannot believe that he finished that race, Massa over Kubica. So fantastic Grand Prix, 2 weeks, Germania, and... You understand the message, right?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, should be great. Thank you, Nas, for another outstanding history on the British Grand Prix.
Oh, dear, my pleasure.
Anyway, so let's go right to 50 words on the race from the forum, and I'll go ahead and start it off with yay. A proper race where we got excitement and racing right up to the line without DRS having to provide the foe. Excitement, low light, having to listen to Horner squirming about another unpopular pit wall decision. Red Bull may have to release Weber for someone less popular so people won't complain when the number two gets publicly shafted.
This one from Lap Traffic. Alonso! Sloppy pit work by Red Bull and the McLaren bring Vettel and Button's days to tears. Battle between Hamilton and Massa makes the last lap one of the most exciting this year.
From Baumgartner. Saw a bunch of bugs hitting the cameras on the cars and some seriously unhappy Red Bull faces in the press conference. Ricciardo was a bit disappointing.
Liam Bray writes, Red Bull lost the race with poor pit work and lost the fans with poor but probably sensible pit calls. Other than that, lots of racing for a change.
It's my printer, Steven.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Yeah.
We're on a budget, Steve. I can squeeze out.
It's kind of fading in and out.
I can squeeze out at least another 100 pages from this cartridge.
Shake that sucker up, buddy.
Neon Zapper writes, number two Mark Webber obeyed Christian Horner's team orders to maintain his gap and not to pass his slower teammate. Hamilton tangles with Massa per usual. A few crews screwed up badly in the pits, but in the end, all drivers were covered with wet mosquitoes.
CON writes, good to see Ferrari back on top, albeit with a little help from the Red Bull mechanics. Funny how when their preferred driver is winning, Red Bull decides to use team orders.
And Francois Sever writes, good race. Ferrari seems to have picked up some pace with the new blown diffuser rules and the use of only soft and intermediate tires. Team orders at Red Bull, why they didn't want to use them orders last year when Webber was leading the championship. Exactly. And once again, I apologize. My printer is it's fading badly.
Thin.
And finally, but not least, from Mayonnaise, excellent racing. No one welcomed the return of the wheel nut demon. Stewards come down hard on Schumacher. Fernando marches off into the distance as Hamilton blocks the road. Horner steps in to prevent Webber from tangling with Vettel as Hamilton punts Massa just before the strip. Thanks, gentlemen, for outstanding commentary on a fantastic race, which is what it was. So let's quickly wrap it up. San Francisco Formula One group. It's called SFF1.com. Check them out. They get together, they eat and drink, and watch the Grand Prix in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. We want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@f1weekly.com. We'll see you for the midweek podcast. Thanks and good night.
Good night.